It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Anatula.
Yeah, In the Loop on a Tuesday. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And thanks to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, for providing the 5-Hour Energy fan line where you can get involved. 713-572-4610. Where a lot of folks hanging out with us, talking back to the show. We appreciate that.
They're talking back to me?
All right, the dad jumped out. He's like, what you mean talking back?
They're talking back to me?
Who talking back? What are you going to do? Whoop somebody? Put somebody in timeout? What's up?
It's very much appreciated in this case.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's very appreciated. Talk back to the show. Talk back to Lopez in particular.
Yeah. Talk back to the hand.
Yeah. He said talk to the hand. What is this? 713-572-4610. All right. So with this Texas team, everybody's been trying to figure out what is it? What is the thing? What is the last piece that is kind of keeping them from being their best selves? And Lopez, I feel like you did a little bit of a case study here.
Little bit. Is it the Texans offensive line that's the problem, or is it Bobby Slowick? Simple question. You know, there is a problem. You know, B. Scott was talking about, you know, first half, second half. Oh, they look pretty dang good. Oh, now they don't. C.J. Stroud, that's the C.J. Stroud we know. Oh, that's not the C.J. Stroud we know.
There's not the one that we like to know.
There is an issue with this offense, whether it's protecting C.J. Stroud and rattling him a little bit, as we've been talking about, or first half versus second half. And it's really a wild number to think about, that they have not scored an offensive touchdown in 4 games.
15 points in those second halves combined.
Yeah.
15 points in the last 4 second halves.
Yeah. So which one is it? Let me ask you, because there is a case to be made on each. Let me state the case. It's the offensive line. The offensive line is the problem.
All right.
They need to make wholesale changes at the end of the year. It's the offensive line.
Case for the offensive line as issue. The floor is yours, counselor.
All right. Well, here's the first point. If you're now, keep in mind, we're going to get to Bobby Slowick here in a second.
Uh-huh.
But here's the case that it is the offensive line and things need to change. No quarterback in the NFL going into week 11 of the NFL season has been hit more than C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's a deeply impossible place to be.
That's mind-blowing. I mean, he was sacked 4 times, pressured 9 times, as we've talked about.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, right? Like, yeah. Sacked 4 times, and we were like, oh, look at the play.
Hey, we're better.
Good job, guys. Way to come out and show some pride.
Are we? Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, I don't know if we can all agree on this, but I think more and more people will agree on this. You're not getting what you paid for. You're not.
Are we just talking about Laremy or the rest of this?
Laremy and Howard is what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's abundantly clear.
Right.
I mean, with those guys that are, what are they, top 12 paid tackles, both of them?
Yeah.
Your pass protection composite ranking, this is done by Ben Baldwin, who does some really good analytics stuff. So just composite all the way around, getting a general idea of all the different sites and places that do some level of grading and ranking on pass protection. 18th in the
18th.
League. Sandwiched between the New York Jets and the Las Vegas Raiders. I almost called them the Los Angeles Raiders.
Yeah.
I went back into, I don't even remember. How old were you when they were actually the Los Angeles Raiders? Honestly, though.
91?
Still amazing.
Yeah.
Still amazing that they did not let that team go to L.A.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? They probably couldn't allow that to happen. That has just been too much power.
Not back then. All right, so okay, another case that it's the line, guys. It's personnel. These guys aren't it. We can talk about Shaq Mason. Step back. I mean, I think that's obvious, right?
Yes, and at this point, you wonder if that's like not a step back, but a backside of the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you're seeing a decrease at a sports advanced age, because I don't want to call nobody old that is listening. I appreciate y'all doing that. you start wondering, like, is this the, we are straying further and further from the prime of this person's career? And that feels like that's probably an answer here.
Yeah, that's probably it. All right, one more. The case for the offensive line, that's the problem. The run game was completely absent when you made these changes. Maybe in the first half, the passing game was marginally better or a lot better, to be honest. And then it faded. But the run game was never there. And you had Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You had healthy Joe Mixon.
It felt like one of the things that the Detroit Lions bring to this, shout out to Aaron Glenn, was a level of discipline stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And it was not just a level of discipline, but it was also a level of focus on stopping the run, where it felt like the run blocking was similar.
Yeah.
If not a little bit better to kind of what we had seen of recently. But there was just always that extra defender there when Joe Mixon was going to bounce, as he typically does, to then create generate the yards that he'll get. Felt like there was always that extra defender there ready to just cut that out, and that limited some of the instances where Joe Mixon took a decently blocked play and made it better earlier on in the season, or, I mean, when he was playing in all of these games that he put up 100 and a touchdown. But, like, that was not available to him, and so it was really a lot more of just what was blocked up.
Yeah. All right, games. So you might be thinking, yeah, it's definitely the line. These guys got to go. Well, let's turn to Bobby Slowik. Is it really the offensive line?
All right, so now the case for Bobby Slowik as the issue. The floor is yours, counselor.
Zero quarterbacks in the NFL have faced more third and 10 or longer than C.J. Stroud.
Oh, yeah.
Zero.
Is this where we indict run C.J. Stroud?
Did you know that, Figgy?
Nah. I would have thought Deshaun was on that list.
Deshaun is second. Stroud, get this. You want to feel even better? Stroud has had plays of third and 10 or longer 50 times this season.
Is that good?
That is not good.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson are tied for second with 37.
Goodness.
Think about that.
Yeah, I saw Ben Solak, ESPN, tweet during the game. In fact, I believe I took my phone and shoved it in Seth Payne's face about, hey, look at this tweet. Because, you know, Ben Solak, young guy, covers NFL, you know, really good about this. He's like, yo, getting tired of seeing this run C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Right? And that is something that has become a pattern that around the league is known, whether it's around the people, the media that covers the NFL, or just, I imagine, around the teams as well, understanding that, hey, man, run, pass is coming, run, pass. And in a lot of situations, especially if the run is not working well, there were some, some sets of downs where you saw second and five, third and one, first down. But that's by far the anomaly.
Times? 50 times.
More often than not, it's like second and eight.
Yeah.
Or and then like third and nine or like whatever. Like that is more often what you're seeing. And then you're putting C.J. Stroud in situations where defense are pinning their ears back, coming after him and making it tough on him to feel comfortable letting that ball fly. Or even when he does get a first down, you have to do a lot. There's a deep drop. He has to move around, find time, and then get the ball to the receiver.
First half, he converted a lot of crucial third and long.
They sure did. And that was in part because he was given time by that offensive line in the first half.
Yeah, but you're still third and long. It took crucial conversions to do it. Here's another one. Is it Bobby Slowik? That whole tight end as a fullback thing, which I'm being completely honest, I was kind of signing up for during training camp because I thought, okay, Andrew Beck, you can steal another roster spot. You
drank got the Kool-Aid.
Tight ends. I drank the Kool-Aid. It ain't. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Work.
No.
It ain't working.
Yeah. No. And that's another reason why you start wondering about schematically what's happening here and if it fits, because this is the Shanahan offense is one that requires, or maybe not requires, but it's predicated on running the football. Mm-hmm. And then also running the football with a fullback is kind of intrinsic in here. Now, I don't know how much that is absolutely necessary for it, but that's one of those things that absolutely comes up. On both of those fronts, right, your run blocking has been woeful, and I didn't give you the composite grades on that, but just trust me when I say, not good.
Yeah.
Right, I think literally the Raiders and Patriots are the only team that have worse run block composites as of right now. with this Texas team. You don't have the personnel to do it, and yet you're doing that. And then in the same way, fullback-wise, you don't have the personnel to do that, as evidenced by gestures, hands widely, and yet this is where
it
you
also
are.
Comes down to protection, because we are at the point, and this happened, in the second half the other night. Like, you see Dara Ogunbowale on the field, you're like, all right, pass. pass. Like, there's no real threat. Because they're giving it away, because they don't have the protection from their running backs or tight end in that role. One more here for you. We keep talking about his play calling and run pass, etc. Let's talk about some of these screens and reverses and dump offs. I know you can probably find the data behind this, but I don't think we need any
you
data.
Don't know me. You don't know what data I can find.
we don't need data to tell us. That is not his feel for the game and feel for getting those plays set up to be successful. I thought the compare and contrast of Sunday was incredibly evident. Ben Johnson knows what he's doing on those types of plays, and Bobby Slowick does not.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I will just use as example the end around reverse, right? Mm-hmm. You got John Metchie in the end around. He tosses it to who was a Tank, and there is a white jersey in the backfield waiting for him. That makes him pushes him further back, and he just has no opportunity to get around.
Yeah.
You know who messed up on that play in my estimation? Joe Mixon is supposed to get that block on the backside that ultimately then allows the reverse to come back around and have some space to get going. Joe Mixon misses his block. And this is not me trying to come for Joe Mixon, but I think that is indicative of one of the things that has really torpedoed Bobby Slowick in a lot of these instances, is that there's been so many instances of just one guy missing a block and blowing up the whole damn play.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes I think, and yes, this is me taking up for Bobby Slowick, I think sometimes the play call is not bad, but the execution, even if it's mostly good, if it's not all the way good, it falls apart. And I thought that was one of those instances where I think we got on here yesterday talking about how, sometimes it gets too cute. Sometimes your guys aren't handling up with what they're supposed to do to make the play right.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the things, going back to the players only meeting, I think that's one of those things that these players are trying to hold accountable as well. It's like, hey man, your coordinator's getting a lot of hell, and sometimes y'all are just messing up plays.
Yeah, but at the same time, and I mentioned this with Brandon Scott when he was in here, we're telling them, guys, D'Amico has said it, Bobby said it, we work on this every week, we're going to focus on it more this week. We're telling them, it's just not resonating. Well, you keep saying that enough times, and people are going to realize, well, maybe it's you. Maybe you're not delivering the message. All right, so where do we fall on this? Is it the offensive line, or is it Bobby Slowick?
The unfun answer is yes. I think the offensive line makes it a lot more difficult on Bobby Slowick, but I also don't think that Bobby Slowick has had some portion, like the run pass portion of this, I think that goes over well if you can block better. Mm-hmm. When you can't block better, I think that you need to change the way that you go about some of these things. There's clearly some things that I think you need to implement that you can help negate some of the pressure that is on the offensive line or some of the things.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, I'm not trying to give the offensive line a pass, because we all know, it's been a lot of conversation about how it's not good enough. But I think that then, once that has become abundantly clear, there's some things that maybe you need to shift up in the way that you go about things from Bobby Slowick, and it does not feel like those have happened.
Yeah, I think it's an offensive line issue. But with it being Bobby Slowick and him being the offensive coordinator, I think he's going to get the blame, and probably, I don't know if he's going to get fired or anything, but usually I feel like people look at coaching and be like, hey, if you can't coach these guys up, we'll find somebody else that will, that can do it. So I think it's the offensive line, to be honest. I talked about it before. I think it's an attitude. I think you got to get a real dog in there, man. Somebody that's going to fight for you. I just don't see anybody, matter of fact, on this offense that will fight for you like the defense will. Defense got some dogs. I just don't see any dogs on the offense
outside of Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and he was just made a captain.
Yeah,
he wasn't a captain going into training camp.
This might be a surprise.
But he's been a vocal leader, supposedly.
Yeah, well, for sure. But I mean, this might be a surprise. I don't, maybe not. I think it is the line. As much as that 3rd and 10 stat blew me away, that's play calling. But it got also a little bit of offensive line. You're not blocking up those first those run plays. You're not, converting some early pass plays or whatever. I'm looking at this line and I don't see it in Tytus Howard. I don't see it in Laremy Tunsil. Just, he does just enough. You know,
it's saying like a good offensive line, you usually get some really good highlights of somebody like, wow, look at that guy running that dude down, or pancaking that guy right there. Like, what are some good moments from this offensive line like that?
And that word that Figgy used, I think, is very, very important in this case and trying to determine, what you really think the problem is. Dogs. Like, Laremy Tunsil uses that word a lot. Oh, so-and-so's a dog, so-and-so's a dog. Laremy Tunsil's a dog in pass blocking, but is he?
It's funny because typically it feels like when you're talking about offensive linemen and we start talking about dogs, run blocking is where it starts showing up. And offensive linemen, the typical offensive lineman will usually tell you that they like run blocking more. They can go and they're on the offensive. Mm-hmm. They can go and affect their will. They can go and move some people. And it feels like that is rarely what you're getting. And some of that I understand is, you get the zone blocking scheme. Sometimes that makes it a little tough to get out and really go hit somebody because you're moving laterally. Mm-hmm. But even then, right, there feels like, to your point, Fig, there's not enough of those plays where it feels like, oh, somebody got him out the paint.
It feels
like you don't necessarily see them throwing dudes out the club, which is absolutely something that you would love to see.
It seemed like it's more moments of them watching them saying, dang, they ain't picked CJ up. Dang, why he just standing there?
Or he stopped.
Yeah. He just rolled right past him. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it's more moments like that than them actually being dogs and taking up.
Hey, man. Unscientific survey here, but fans are blaming Bobby.
And that's probably
fair. That's understandable.
That's probably fair because, let's be real, that's probably the cheaper option. I don't think they could just get rid of this whole offensive line like that. Mm-hmm. The easier solution is to find somebody else that could get to these guys.
And Bobby ends up being the lightning rod. And then Bobby is also the place where, as an authority figure, he exists there, right? It is his offense.
It's easy
as the coordinator.
Yeah.
But that's the frustrating thing about it is I think that there's a level of culpability for both of these, but I think where the problem generates, the genesis, it does feel like that is offensive line.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Tuesday. It's about that time where we do our lunchtime confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, and we'll do those next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.